confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 196 of MMA Madhouse Live. Tonight we got a great show for you folks. We're going to kick it off with Ring of Combat lightweight champ Chris Wade. He's going to drop in to talk to us about his fight coming up at the Tropicana in New Jersey, May 16th, Ring of Combat 48. He's going to face off against Frankie Perez, undefeated. This is going to be a great fight, I think. It's going to be a great interview. This young man's only got one loss, and it was a, you know, at World Series of Fighting, it was a decision loss. And he bounced back pretty quick from that one to make a, you know, things get a little more aggressive. So I can't wait to sit down and talk with him. And then the second hour, we're going to have Justin Baseman, a good friend of ours you guys know on the show, Rick Rieger, Boomer Nation. It's one of his boys. Guy's been in Bellator. Yeah. He's been in Bellator. He's been up and down the West Coast. The guy's a beast. We're going to sit back and talk with him a little bit. But you heard him. He's my sidekick. We rock this show every week. Let me get him in here.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
He's critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls you nothing except for your mama. And she's burnt your monkey ass.
Mr. Lopaki, how goes it today on that side of the mountain?
Dude, it's 83 and freaking beautiful, gorgeous weather today, bro. Made working very, very difficult.
You know, I got to say, it was a beautiful day on this side of the mountain. I got a little bit of a chance to sit out back at the bar on the patio with everybody for a little bit, and I could have easily hung outside all day. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I wrapped my day up. One of my clients had their monthly cigar function, so I went and pretty much just smoked a cigar for the last hour and a half sitting on a patio.
Well, that's not too bad. As you know, tonight we're going to be talking Ring of Combat, and again next week, Ring of Combat, you know, we're fans of. They've definitely done a great job.
Of...
No Lou tonight. Maybe we can try to snag him in. Right now, I know for sure we've got fighters lined up, but I can hit up Fred and see what we can do.
Man, you tell Fred, man, if he's wanting to come on MMA Madhouse, he needs to be bringing Larry Legend.
I will tell him that. He's probably listening. Big shout out to Fred. love working with that guy. He's such a great guy, man. He really he's bridged that gap between Ring of Combat and MMA Madhouse and made it very seamless and smooth, and I love it. Ring of Combat 48, May 16th, folks. This thing is going down at the Tropicana Resort and Casino in Atlantic City, and that's in New Jersey for any of you folks who don't know, especially if you live overseas and you're listening. Two phenomenal fighters facing off in a title fight. Like I said, we're going to get to kick back and talk with Chris tonight. Do you know Julio Arce is on that card as well? Chris Slasky's on that card. Who else? Oh, Matthew Rizzo and Jimmy Grant at 125. That's going to be an interesting fight that a lot of you guys should pay attention to. This will be on Go Fight Live television, folks. So you know how the deal works. You buy it once, you own it for life. It's not like some Zuffa pay-per-view where you're going to pay outrageous money for five fights and maybe two of them are good. This is going to be a lot cheaper, and you're going to get to watch it over and over and over. And I think there's 12 fights or 13 fights on this card. Who else do we got? I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm forgetting who the main event was for that card. Like, is the main – I wonder if – I think the main is Dan and Max, Bohannon and Corchado. I believe. I could be wrong. But either way, we're going to kick back in a few minutes as soon as Chris joins the show.
Are we talking
and talk
about
him.
The main event at the upcoming Ring of Combat?
Yeah, why do I think it's not the – is it the Wade?
Brandon Barrett and Justin Woods for the heavyweight title.
That's the main event. Thank you. Oh, God, I was drawing a blank. I don't know why. Okay, thanks. I knew you'd have my back. That's going to be a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dude. This kid Justin Wood, if you guys don't know about him, he's undefeated right now, 4-5-0 right in there.
4-0.
Very 4-0. Okay, very powerful hands, man. I mean, I think he's finished everybody via KO, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Tough kid, man. That's somebody people out there should be paying attention to. But let's be honest, he doesn't have a very, you know. It's not a cupcake fight ever at Ring of Combat. So he's fighting a 9-6 fighter in Brendan Barrett, who's done his fair time, knows how to take these young kids who are, you know, superstars and stop that real quick. So it'd be interesting. It's going to be a great fight, you know, up-and-comer versus a gritty vet. So I'm excited to see that. And I believe Barrett's on a 5-fight win streak right now. So he's feeling the groove. It's going to be a good fight.
Well, you got that one right, buddy. You know, the thing I'm upset about is he was scheduled to fight Joe Ray.
Really? At where? At what
a
event?
A different Joe Ray.
At what event?
Oh.
A different Joe Ray.
Oh, it was like, dude, I gotta know why Joe Ray's jumping up, you know, all these weight classes. I mean, Joe Ray's the Joe Ray from Dare Fight Sports, folks. He's in the $1 million tournament, made it to the next round. I thought that's who Lepak was talking about.
No, do you go check out the link I just sent you? This is
okay. The
new Joe Ray.
Okay, the new Joe Ray.
You're going to be like, what?
Whoa, that looks nothing like Joe Ray. Yeah, we're talking 170-pound skinny white guy and what, probably a 260 heavyweight black guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two completely different folks.
And he's 5'10", dude, this new Joe Ray.
Wow, man. He doesn't look like an easy guy to finish. He's only been finished once.
The only thing he looks like he's having a hard time finishing is definitely not his dinner.
The Joe Ray would definitely be sad.
Yeah, this is just the new Joe Ray. Do you know the fight on this card I'm looking forward to is that the Dvalishvili.
Ah, dude, who is he fighting? He's fighting Munoz, right?
Yeah.
See, we, dude, you know what? Next time we definitely got to get Fred on here, man. Have him
yeah,
be on
Fred,
here with us.
Don't be scared, buddy. Don't be scared, Fred.
You know, hey, by the way, this past weekend, some good cards. I want to give a big shout-out to Ari Taub and Sarah from Hard Knocks. Really, really solid card. Great events, great fights from beginning to end. Big shout out to the Pac Northwest boys who traveled up there deep to try to get some victories. They came out 1-2, but they were all good fights.
Dude, did you see the guy in Texas that, like, you, the dude, the two people were trying to purse like purse jack some chick, and the guy ended up holding them at gunpoint until the cops got there.
No, but I wish I would have. That's great. That is so
it
great.
It was pretty awesome, dude.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I've been seeing a lot of these, like, we got feedback from somewhere. Okay. I've been seeing a lot of these
hey,
videos.
Dude. Hey, dude, SSF is coming to Fresno.
Really?
Yeah,
are
the
they,
next fight is in Fresno.
As a gym for the Fighter Source
yeah.
deal?
Yeah.
Oh, we might have to make a road trip.
That's what I'm thinking. Go down and hang out with Ron and the guys.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. Ron, if you're listening, because I know you're a regular listener to the show, man, hit us up. Dude, give us the details. Let's see if we can try to meet up. Okay, here we go.
Dude, we got EFC Africa in the morning, homie.
I'm so excited. You know, I love it when EFC Africa.
Dino's fighting, bro.
Well, the whole card's a great card. And as much as, you know, I know there's certain people out there, obviously not the normal Zupa Zombie, don't even know what we're talking about. But, you know, we had a tragic ending at the last event, and a lot of people say that they should have taken more time off. I think they should come back and continue doing what they've been doing because that was a freak accident. It's, you know, bound to happen throughout time.
This is the second event since...
But the first one wasn't that well-received. This one seems to be already sold out, doing well. So, I don't know. Hey, let's talk about that in a minute. I believe right now we've got the one and only, the champ, the band behind it all, Chris Wade. How you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Oh, wonderful,
we're
brother.
Fantastic,
welcome.
Chris.
Let me start off by
on.
Welcoming you. Oh, yeah. Let me start by welcoming you to MMA Madhouse Live. And for the fans around the world, especially who maybe don't live in your region, overseas and stuff, tell them who you are, where you're fighting out of, and what your record is.
My name is Chris Wade. I'm fighting out of Long Island MMA in Suffolk County, Long Island, in New York. And my pro record currently right now is 6-1.
So what part of the island are you on, bro?
What's that?
What part of the island are you on?
Well, I live in Suffolk County. I'm about middle of the island. I'm in western Suffolk. I'm living in Bayshore right now, but I'm from Islip, which is basically just a stone's throw away from where I am here. So I haven't gone too far.
So are you
but,
like two, would you say you're two stone's throws away from Oyster Bay?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Oyster Bay is up a little north and out into Nassau County, but you know, when you're on the island, you're only, you know, pretty much a half hour from most spots, tops with traffic. So, yeah, I'd call it two stones.
That's where my sister lives at.
Oh, cool, cool, yeah, small world.
So, you got a, you know, honestly, you got a pretty big fight coming up, especially in our eyes. This is a great matchup, we feel, for you. Obviously, Frankie Perez is undefeated. That, you know, you and you have one loss. We really don't believe the paper records mean much. It's about what you guys do in the cage. What do you think about your opponent coming up and what you've seen and what you know about him?
You know, I've talked to a few people about it previous to this. I have a ton of respect for Frankie. I really don't have anything negative to say about the guy. I think he's a great fighter. I think he's pretty well-rounded. But like you guys kind of hinted at a little earlier when you were just talking, I do think that it is an excellent matchup for me. So this is something that my coaches and I have kind of asked for a few times as we've been coming up together and haven't really gotten the fight until now. I think Frankie and I are kind of at a point now in the regional promotion at Ring of Combat under Lou, which has been absolutely great, where – you know, it's kind of time for us to come together and get after it. You know, I got the belt. He's 8-0. It's tough to not justify the fight going down at this point. So I'm excited. You know, I love the matchup. I think it's going to be really, really good for me.
Do you feel maybe you have a little bit of an advantage by performing at a maybe a bigger stage coming into this for you to be able to be a little calmer about this?
No, absolutely. Taking that little bit of that step up, going over to World Series of Fighting and getting after it with Ozzy was, you know, although it was, you know, a loss for me, I didn't feel that I competed my best, you know, to my best abilities that particular day with, you know, a few different factors playing into it. I think that the experience overall is priceless. My coaches talk to me all the time about it. We think it completely changed the course of my training and the way I just go about, you know, being an MMA fighter every single day, how I attack, trying to get better. And there's no doubt in my mind that that gives me an edge.
No, that's something that I definitely like to touch on, especially because we have a lot of amateurs who listen to this show or beginning pros. Sitting back looking at that, how important it seems to have been in your career to have that loss at that time. Looking back at it, do you feel that that was the best thing for you at the, you know?
To take the fight or to...
To lose that decision and know that there were things that you didn't do that you wanted to. Do you feel like this refocused you, relit a fire, and got you back on the grind where you, you know, was this a good loss?
Absolutely, yeah. There's good losses and bad losses. And being that I grew up in the sport of wrestling, losses happen. You know, it's one of those things where you compete so much that eventually you have a bad day, you have an off day, somebody knocks you off, and you're not happy about it, but you only have a few choices. You can either let it get to you, do nothing about it, keep going as you were, and stay the course, or you can make adjustments. You can try to become a better fighter and learn from that experience, and that's what we did. You know, I went in there, and I didn't know what to expect. I fought a few pounds up from where I compete. I fought at, I think we weighed in at 61. It was like a catchweight fight, and the kid was huge. He was massive. He threw the kitchen sink at me. I don't know if you ever watched him fight, but he hits like a truck. You know, his goal with every punch or kick is to, you know, lay you out and have you wake up in the hospital. So, I mean, like I said, I didn't feel that I competed to the best of my abilities that particular day, but he did throw pretty much everything he had at me, and he wasn't able to put me down. So, you know, I learned a lot about, you know, being tough. I kept coming forward, and I was trying to put him down too. So that fight was one of those fights where you just come out of there a tougher guy. You have to.
What's interesting is you turned around and you came back home, and you know you performed you know again for Ring of Combat. Did you have any reservations inside yourself saying you're taking a step back, or did you feel like that wasn't a step back, that's just the right path?
No, never. I love competing at Ring of Combat, and I have the utmost faith that Lou has, you know, his fighter's best interest at heart, and I just trust everything that Lou does. You know,
He
puts me up against, I'm gonna take it. You know, I've never been one to go back and forth with him on opponents. And to be honest with you, prior to the World Series of Fighting fight, I had the title fight option with the Ring of Combat, but it was really weird the way it played out. The one fight was a week earlier, and it was during a vacation that I had booked out of country with some family. So it when the World Series of Fighting fight came along and it didn't conflict with that, and it was more exposure, you know, opportunity to earn a little bit more, it just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. But as soon as I had that one competition there, I don't know, I just felt that Ring of Combat was the place for me to be, where I can showcase my skills and get to that next level. So never really thought of it as a step back, to be honest with you.
And nor should you. We are huge fans of Lou and both his organizations, you know, with the kickboxing and the MMA both. We think what he does is a phenomenal job. You know, these are, you know, today's fighters – you know, they're so different than 10 or 15 years ago where guys were just bruisers and brawlers and, you know, it was about two-fisted fun, where nowadays a lot of fighters, it's more about a career, and some fighters take that regional step back, and it hits them mentally a lot different than you, obviously. So, you know, I got to ask these kind of things because I'm trying to get to know you and see how everything's feeling out. And with that, you know, Luke comes to you and says, I got Frankie on the table. How happy were you when you got off that phone call?
Well, we were excited. I was a little bit giddy, you know, because there's been a few times where my coach has talked to Lou in regard to Frankie, and it just, for whatever reason, wasn't the right time. And it's always been nothing but respect. You know, I just always want to challenge myself and put out there for the fans the best fights that I can be involved in. I think that showcases me and my abilities in the best light. If I'm going to be able to beat up on the best opponents, then that's going to really show a lot more so than if I was trying to duck and dive a little bit and get some soft wins, you know. So as soon as I heard from him that it was on, I was really excited. I told everybody in my camp, and we got right to work. It's been awesome ever since. Camp's been great, so.
But, and with that, you know, knowing obviously your coaches are going to build a solid game plan for you, did you change up anything? Without getting into specifics, is this a normal camp for you? Did you change anything up?
I did make a few tweaks to training camp. In the past, I haven't sparred quite as much as I decided to for this particular fight. I really, really wanted to make an emphasis to get in there more often, just really get comfortable in every situation, try to mix up my sparring partners quite a bit to give me different looks for all different facets of the game, whether it be on the ground, rolling around, scramble situations, pure striking and stand-up, cage work. I mean, we've hit on all of it. And definitely the amping up of the sparring sessions from the one or two a week that I was doing to the, you know, two to three that I've got myself into now has just really helped me turn the corner with just being comfortable no matter where I am, seeing things, and you have a different eye for everything that's going on in there. It helps you relax quite a bit more.
With the growth in your career and obviously getting to step up onto the World Series stage, have you got a taste to maybe travel a little bit and fight? Have you looked overseas or internationally at anything?
I haven't done too much searching in that regard. I'm at my age and where I'm at and my coaches and trainers and what we're being told, I'm not scrambling or in a rush to be really anywhere else besides eventually in the UFC. So I'm not really jumping to try to fight overseas at a different promotion. I really think my future is going to be with that company and trying to really work for that UFC belt. So that's where my focus is. That's where my mind's at. And I get pretty stubborn like that, and I want to be where the best are. And if that's not the case, I'll keep getting after it over here until that's a reality.
Well, let's be honest. You know, obviously you fight for an organization that has fed many, many a fighter to that organization, to the Zuffa, you know. But if you're able to, you know, come out next month on, you know, with a victory in your hand raised at Ring of Combat 48 on May 16th, you know, that's going to put you honestly one step closer, because you've got to know that you two guys right now at the 155 weight class are some of the top, if not the top two on the East Coast, at least north of Carolina. So you obviously you're on the radar of you know, them. How does that play at all to you mentally, knowing that, you know, each fight either gets you closer or farther away, or do you not even think about it like that?
Yeah, I mean, both Frankie and I, to be honest with you, this, like you said, this whole East Coast, I mean, we're pretty hard pressed for, at this point, for him to bring in anyone else who who's kind of on the cusp as we are to come in and want to fight us. I mean, I think that's just a testament of how, you know, how successful he and I have both been in our own careers, where there's, let's face it, there's just a lot of reluctance for guys to come in and want to get after us. He has trouble getting guys to fight him. I have trouble getting guys to sign to fight me, because these guys know that they're on the edge and they don't want to take that step back and have a bad fight and lose to us and look bad. And then that just prolongs them getting there. So this is a tough time period. I'm really happy that the fight's going down, because it is tough at this point on the East Coast with the names that we've built up, he and I, for us to get challengers that even want to go for it. A lot of camps kind of, you know, I've had two or three of my fights last second, guys, you know, saying that there was an injury or this or that, and multiple fight changes, you know, five, six guys in one camp. So, you know, you make that name, and then, you know, people on that regional circuit, they don't want to touch you because they don't want to take that step back. But, you know, that's part of it. I've always embraced that. If you're scared at this level and you want to duck people, when you get up there, somebody's going to beat the brakes off you, you know. So I look at it as I'm preparing myself now to get after those guys when I get there and keep the ball rolling. He and I are both going to be over-prepared, you know, and that's something that Lou helps us get ready for tremendously with his matchmaking, and, you know, I got to thank him for that.
See, Chris, you really touched on something that's like a big pet peeve of mine, and that's the fact that some of these high-level regional pros are ducking good fights because they're so concerned with, you know, oh, my record, and I need to get in the UFC. And it's really frustrating as somebody that's been a fan of combat sports since, like, the late 80s, early 90s, watching kickboxing and stuff, where, you know, I mean, losses don't really mean as much. And I think that there's an unfortunate aspect of current society where they feel like, you know, in order for you to be a good fighter, you should be undefeated. And that's really an unattainable achievement, you know. I mean, I guess there are guys that can stay undefeated, but they're fighting tomato cans all the time. But, you know, if you really want to test yourself,
for the most part,
do what you and Frankie are doing.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad we share that opinion. That's my opinion. Some people look at it a different way. They want to maybe get there as healthy as they can with as much of their career still in the tank as they can. But to me, you're just selling yourself short if you're going to do that, because you're never getting challenged. When you really get put to the test, you know, those are the guys that break and they lose and they shake their head in the UFC because they don't know, they've never been tested. Like you said, you beat up on tomato cans all day and somebody's going to, you know, beat the brakes off of you up there. Those guys don't care. Everybody, when you get up there, everybody's going to war trying to kill each other. That, you know, there's a decent amount of money and advancement at stake at that point. So for me, it's about getting prepared now, being ready now for the future. And I've never been one. I can thank probably my wrestling background for that. I've never been one to sidestep an opponent or to duck a guy. You know, I've always been one to attack the best and try to test myself. So, you know, my coaches have helped me, you know, to develop that thought process, and it's just been ingrained in me since I was a little guy wrestling. You know, some people don't share that mentality because maybe they didn't experience a tough sport when they were younger. They wanna kind of do it that way, and they'll see. They get there when they get up there. So,
yeah. Well, I think that, you know, we're even seeing this mindset start to saturate the amateur ranks of MMA, where these guys feel like they need to be an undefeated amateur. But for me, like, if you come out of your amateur career and you've never lost, that is the most detrimental thing that could ever happen to a fighter. Because you need to know what it's like to be on the wrong end of a fight. I mean, even if it's just one time in your entire life, I mean,
yeah.
I think that you need to understand that so that if it happens, you know, if you don't ever lose and you're just beating up little Johnny over here and Susie out at the freaking local fairgrounds, And you don't understand what it's like to lose and how to come back from something like that. When you lose as a professional, that could end your career.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't – people get mixed up a little bit. I think the general fan base, my assumption on it is that they kind of mistake MMA nowadays, especially the record, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, the zero, the undefeated. It's this boxing mentality. You see Mayweather, he's the best. He's beaten 40-some-odd men in professionally throughout his career, which the guy's an amazing boxer. His skills are, undeniable. But, I mean, you could go on for pages and pages and pages on the internet about how he waits for guys to fall out of their prime to get them, and it's always a waiting game, and the boxing is that way. MMA is more like, it's definitely become more and more about getting in there and getting after it. People want to see action, and they want to see excitement. They want to see two guys get in there and high technical. Like you said, it's not the early 90s anymore where you got two guys coming out of a bar to slug it out and let there be blood. Now there's a little more technique involved, but they still want to see action. They want to see excitement, and sometimes when you open up like that, those losses come. And I wasn't beaten as an amateur. I was undefeated and I moved on. But that was mostly like due to my age and where I felt I was in my career and having the wrestling base. I just felt ready to move on. I felt I could draw from the losses with wrestling, and I knew how to lose and how to keep going and how to keep grinding. So I was never concerned personally about that, but I can see exactly where you're coming from. If you have a guy who's new and hasn't competed in that one-on-one sport and you take a loss early, it can be absolutely detrimental. You could just, all of a sudden, the guy could have no interest in the sport. So it's a shame. You shouldn't see amateur. There should be none of that in amateur. People should just fight whoever they're told to fight. It means it's almost nothing. That's just either coaches or the fighters themselves being just foolish, in my opinion. I think you're right. You hit that on the head.
Well, and I think it's that, people are trying to turn the fight game into, like football, It's like everybody wants their football team to go undefeated. And
right.
Everybody wants their favorite fighter to be undefeated. But it's an unrealistic expectation. Skippy and I watch a lot of Muay Thai and kickboxing, and you see these guys. 30, 40 losses. They're like 125 and 36. But they're still considered a legend because, their losses were to guys that are also, on that level. And there's going to be days, and I'm sure you have those days in the gym with guys you train with, where one day you get the better of Joe, and the next day Joe gets the better of you, and then the next day you get the better of Joe, and then, and it's just back and forth like that. A loss doesn't mean that you're a shitty fighter or a bad fighter. It just means that, you know what, that day you weren't the best guy. But you know what to do now and to go back, and the next time you step in the ring with that guy or the cage with that guy, you're going to, you'll have that improved knowledge. I mean, it's like, I think it's really funny that everybody always complains about, oh, Uriah Faber gets all these title shots. Well, yeah, that's because he beats the heck out of everybody, and unfortunately it's just on those days when he's fighting the champ, he can't get it done. But he's beating up everybody else. So he's earning those shots, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's so much of an issue once you've become established. Once you're already a household name in UFC where people know what you're about, like a Dan Henderson or a his name is slipping my mind. He was in the first Ultimate Fighter. He just gets after it. Diego Sanchez. The guy, it becomes not even so much anymore about win or loss. You just want to see how crazy the fight's going to get inside of there, because you know that those guys are going to throw bombs, they're going to stand in there, and they're going to put on a show. And they're established, so no one's really looking, oh, Diego's record is, he's got quite a few losses now. It becomes not about that anymore. It's about the entertainment value that he brings to that table. Whereas on the come up, our end of it, everyone's worried that they're not going to get their opportunity if they don't get that W. So that they're over worrying about each matchup.
when if you just take care of what you got to do, it's all going to take care of itself anyway. That's at least my opinion on it. There's no room for that chucking and diving stuff. Not in this sport. You got to go play something else if you want to do that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like we've got a fight this weekend here up in Washington at K-Sports 30 that, you know, is a fight that a lot of us have wanted to see for a long time. And fortunately, these two guys are willing to get in the cage and put it on the line. I mean, you know, no different than what you and Frankie are doing. And I wish that there was a way that we could sneak out there and watch that fight in person, but I'm going to have to settle for some GFL.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Come check it out. But, yeah, Go Fight Live does a good job, too, getting it done. So,
Chris, you maybe talk about the electricity of the venue, like on fight night? What's that like at Ring of Combat?
Oh, this the roof's going to come down on May 16th. It gets pretty electric in there because, you know, it's like a – it's not too big, so you can like hear everybody. You know, maybe I would say there's, you know, maybe like 3,000 seats. Who knows? I'm guessing a number, but he brings a great crowd. They usually sit on one side. I'm bringing a really nice crowd, and it's gonna get super loud in there. There's the way that the venue is set up. It just the noise really bounces around in there. You can just it gets real charged up in there, so you can definitely bet it's going to be real loud in there. They're going to be yelling quite a bit, and I'm sure my side is going to be yelling quite a bit too. So
now, does that when you have a really electric crowd like that, and in a venue to similar to what Lou utilizes, does that also at times make it kind of difficult for you to hear your corners, or is that just something that comes without even worrying about it?
It can be. I try not to really worry too much about that. I try to also use some things that I implement in the cage to, you know, keep myself as close to them as possible, because it is a positioning battle. You know, you would prefer to be more near to your corner during exchanges than their corner, where you can't get any information and they can. So there's a little bit of a battle that goes on in there. You know, the other guy's trying to kind of pull you to his side, and you're kind of trying to pull him over to your side. And I just try to let my grappling superiority kind of dictate where I'm taking the fight, and I'll bring them right over to my coaches and put them right down in the cage right in front of them. We could, you know, we could high five if we wanted to.
Chris, let me jump.
Real.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, let me jump in on that because, you know, Lopaki honestly has a coach here on the West Coast that he thinks is one of the best coaches you could ever have in your corner during a fight. How important is it for you, and how well do you hear your coaches? Do you know, well, during the fight where your coaches are and how to drag your opponent into that corner because they're there, or is that just happen sometimes? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can kind of just happen. There could be a scramble, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, look where I am. This is great. But I'm definitely cognizant of that. I'm aware of it. Just from wrestling, it gets really loud when you're in a wrestling match sometimes in gymnasiums, especially big matches, and you have headgear on, which is muffling your sound, and your coach is trying to yell to you, but you can't look over, because if you look over, now your eyes off your opponent. That's a terrible mistake. So I've become really trained over the years at being able to listen without necessarily needing to look. I can hear them and take their direction and do what I can with it based on what I'm able to hear. It's not always going to be perfect. I'm sure there's times where they do yell things out that I miss, but for the most part, I'm keeping, you know, a little bit of an ear out. And there are lapses in the crowd noise where things really quiet down and you're able to really get a message across to the fighter. And I have no problem with it, but we're definitely cognizant of it. It's not just like, oh, shoot, look where I am. If I take a guy down and we're toward the middle, I'm going to turn him towards my corner. I'm going to push him that way because he's got a hip escape to get out. So all you got to really do is direct them, and they'll do the work for you.
Now, you know, that's when your fights are all done.
I have one more question, D. skip. I have one more question on this whole corner situation. Chris, as a fighter, and I've never been in a cage fight, I'm curious, do you find that the help from the corner is really more beneficial in the grappling exchanges, or are there times it's also beneficial in the striking? Because I kind of see the striking as being really a lot more fluid than where the grappling is. You know, I think that there's a lot more opportunity to take what your coach is saying when you're on the mat or up against the cage and really utilize that rather than during the striking exchanges, because they're so instantaneous and something could change, you know, in a second.
Yeah, the pace of the two things, you're definitely you're onto something in regard to that. The grappling, if I take a guy down and my coach starts to talk to me about passing or controlling situation, I'm in control of the situation. For the most part, they're not really going to be going anywhere instantaneously. If something happens, it's going to develop over a few seconds. So you are able more to take that advice and implement it, whereas if you're striking, you can't just have your coach yell out, 1, 2, 3. It's now the guy knows what's coming. So it's definitely much more challenging to convey a message of what may be open in striking. They have to be much more slick about it. They have to be a little secretive. Maybe you say something else. Maybe you have words that mean something else. And
Three pieces and a biscuit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and who knows, you know, what it means. That could be a, you know, a 1, 2, 3 body kick. You know, people implement all different types of ideas to try to get the message across without the other guy knowing. I've dealt with a lot of corners who just, you know, they'd rather speak in a different language so that we know nothing. It doesn't really change that much. Like you said, the instantaneous nature of the striking, it's just kind of about who's better there and who's having a better day. And you just, you know, you flow, and then it, more so with the striking in between rounds, you'll get advice. Whereas the grappling kind of is during it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I could definitely see that where your coach can be like, look, man, he's leaving the six wide open all day long, you know, so throw a 1-2 followed up with a 6 because it's going to be there all day. And then you can, you know, in that next round, you can implement those at the appropriate times. I definitely
exactly.
Agree right there.
Exactly. You know, he'll let you know, hey, he's dropping his right hand off of this. You know, you gotta come back up top off of that. You know, what you're doing is nice, but you got to follow it up. And you'll get pointers like that. And then you try to go out there and implement that if you can. But on the fly, much, much more difficult. You can't be in the midst of a combo and the guy's going to ask you to continue throwing something else and it's just going to happen. It's almost impossible.
Chris,
we know that you had the wrestling background, but did you tend to get in a lot of fights, or was it just, you know, the competition was what more brought you to MMA?
I got into a lot of scraps growing up. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly why it happened as much as it did. You know, just hanging out with buddies and, you know, being out late, you know, around the wrong crowds in the wrong places. But there's definitely a good amount of that went on, you know, I would say mostly in high school, maybe into early college a little bit. But there were a lot, I would say, like 30, 40, something crazy, maybe even more than that, who knows. But I don't think that's what really necessarily led me to do this. I got into it just through my coach having a random conversation with him asking me to come down and try out mitts when I was teaching his son wrestling, and I agreed to it, and I just fell in love with the striking part. After that first day, we kind of just took it from there. But I think the fighting thing's kind of in your blood. Either you are or you're not, you know.
I totally agree, man. I think that there's a lot of great athletes that participate in mixed martial arts, but I would rather watch fighters all day long.
Yeah, you can see a difference a little bit. You can see the difference. It's subtle sometimes. Some people can't pick it up, but there's a difference between someone who you hit and they get more mad and come at you more aggressively and get more ferocious and someone who you hit and all of a sudden they're a different guy. That athleticism is gone. They're backing up. They quit. They pack their bags. There's a few different kinds of people floating around the sport right now. You have the guys that are legitimate fighters and it's in their blood and they're tough, and those guys are hard to put away. You know, you have to be technically better than those guys as well. And then you have the guys who are technically sound, who, you know, you can hit them and you can change the whole course of the fight if they don't like the way it felt. So I'm glad I'm the first of it and not the latter. I don't see any shame in having been in some scraps when I was younger. I think that's part of life.
Yeah, man, and I think for the Zuffa Zombies out there, if they want to kind of understand what we're talking about, Chuck Liddell was a fighter. John Jones is an athlete that fights.
I don't know. John wrestled the same time as me in New York, and we've been on a few trips where he I've seen him hold his ground way before he entertained fighting. So I mean, people maybe didn't test him as much, you know. But I think he might have been in his fair share too, especially with his brothers, with Arthur, with Chandler. So I mean, it's a little more detailed. I would say, trying to think of a guy who's a really good example of that, but Liddell, no doubt. That guy's fighter first.
Which side of the line? Which side of the line would you place GSP?
See, that's a great question. I don't really know anything about his past, but just seeing the way he is now, I'd put him on that athlete side, who's not really the street fighter. Just the way he approaches his fights, it looks like his intent is to avoid as much as possible. He kind of wants to control you, and he doesn't really want to exchange and get in those risky situations, whereas Liddell would just open right up. He wasn't scared of anything. You could see the confidence in it, whereas GSP is way more tactful and trying to avoid that type of stuff. So, but I mean, how many times have we seen him take beatings and still come out on top? So it's hard to say with the guy, but I don't think he was much of a street fighter probably in his day.
I think a lot of that just goes to show the pure willpower of a guy like GSP or even a John Jones. And I mean, you know, the willpower that any of you you fighters have to just take that step and lock yourself in into a confined area and know that, you know, no matter what, it's going down. It's a certain amount of willpower, and we should all respect that. But at the same time, as a fan, there's certain guys I like to watch, and there's certain guys that I could really care less if I watched.
Yeah, I know. I hear that. I see some stuff where I'm just amazed. There's been a few fighters where I've seen a complete 180 change in the way that stylistically that they approach these fights now. It's more like they're just looking to get that W. It doesn't matter how by the skin of the teeth and unexciting it is, where you see them more early on just crushing on guys. And that's weird to me. I don't understand at what point you get in your career where that killer instinct just goes away completely. I don't know if it's from being content or getting complacent. I'm not really sure, but there's definitely a few examples of that at the higher end of the sport where guys are more willing to coast now and not really necessarily get in there and get after it. But you got to be very careful.
In GSP, I mean, if we look at GSP before the first Matt Serra fight, he was a killer, man. He was a killer. And after that right hand from Serra, he became decision guy.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, you don't know. Like, maybe he got his chin touched to a point where he can't rely on his jaw anymore. I mean, look at Chuck. Look what happened to Chuck. Chuck, the Iceman, you couldn't put that guy down. He'll stand in there and trade with anybody all day. And all of a sudden, one day, I don't know who the first guy was, but somebody put him down. And then after that, once that button got touched once, it was like it's just on permanently. I mean, I truly believe that your chin has like there's a lifeline to it where if you lose it, you know, it's gone. I've seen chins leave people. You've seen guys, I'm sure, you cover the sport quite a bit, where they used to be able to take beatings, and all of a sudden now you're like, a jab put him down? Are you kidding me? Like, that
yeah,
grazing elbow Moss, just dropped him? You can't figure
Big
it
Moss
out.
Is a good example of that. I think Big Nog is a prime example of that. If you look at Big Nog's last fight with Rory Nelson, I've seen him take a lot worse shots from Mirko back in, like, maybe 99, 2000, 2001, when he was fighting in Pride, and he would just walk through some of those punches. But, like, that fight with Roy, he was on Queer Street for most of it.
Exactly. Perfect example is that guy. I didn't think of him. But, like you said, you go back a decade ago, and it didn't matter if you hit him with a car. He'll just get back up and dust it off. Now, all of a sudden, not that Roy doesn't hit really hard, because I'm sure that he does, but punches that you just know for sure as a fan, he would have just eaten, smiled, and walked through, you know, in the early 2000s. Now all of a sudden he's done. That's it. I mean, he's getting older, but B, that chin is not there anymore. It's just, I don't know if that's a direct result of his age. I think it's just once it happens, once that button gets hit, it's just, you could just keep hitting it. So maybe George got touched and then, like, he realized in sparring or something, like, I can't trade like that anymore. I have to be smarter. I'm not really sure how it goes down, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. Now, as a fighter, is that something that you guys are cognizant of, or is that something that you can't think about because you can't really have that thought floating around the back of your head?
Well, I would say I'm cognizant of it when I'm in training. So, say I'm sparring or whatever, I could really open up and just let my hands fly and trade punches with my training partners on a weekly basis and spar like an absolute animal. But who knows? You're opening up, letting it fly like that and there where no one watches and it means almost nothing with the exception of preparing yourself. Well, I mean, what's the point of losing your chin over a couple of years of hard sparring? You know, I've heard countless stories from guys at multiple gyms where people have stopped training just from getting touched and getting knocked out in sparring too many times. And so when I'm sparring, I'm on point. I'm trying not to get touched. I'm trying to be elusive. I'm trying to land and move. And when I get in the fight, then all bets are off. I'll go through anything. You know, that can't scare you in a fight. I mean, you can't have no fear. I think they were talking about this on the last UFC. I heard Rogan, and he was chiming in on it a little bit, saying that if you're not scared at all, something's wrong in there. You know, you're going to get hurt. You got to have a little respect in there. But at the same time, it's time to go forward and get it done. So the fights come along every 3 months, you know. You got to just go for it.
Chris, now what do you think about a guy like a very high-level guy that's been high-level for a very long time, like Robbie Lawler, where until his fight with Johnny Hendricks, he had not sparred in a fight camp in years. He would do
really?
All mitt work and no sparring. He talked about it. I'll find the Joe Rogan that he was on. He was on the Joe Rogan podcast, and he talked about it.
Yeah,
and
I listened to that.
He's like, I don't spar, dude. He's like, I'm not sparring. I don't need to get beat up so I can get beat up. He's like, I already know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
He's like,
yep.
I just need to work on my skills, and I just hit mitts. But then they convinced him for this fight with Hendricks to spar, and I think that was maybe more because they were worried about Johnny's power than anything. But to me, that speaks immensely to, you know, some of the overtraining I think that we're kind of touching on that maybe some guys are doing. There's no need to go hard 5 days a week in the gym. I mean, what are you proving anything to?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're proving it to just a few guys, and it's not even leaving that camp. So you get almost nothing out of it except, you know, toughening yourself a little. But I'm surprised by that he never, not even light sparring, nothing. I mean, I'm sure he moved around light. It's hard to believe that
I can't remember when he said he started doing that, but it was probably, I think, 3 or 4 years ago or something like that. He just said he just stopped sparring because...
You know what I think that has something to do with? That's probably him trying to sustain and create a little longevity in his career. He probably realized... Because then he had like a little bit of a comeback, right? He kind of fell off for a little bit, and then... Yeah, so when he made a comeback...
What he said was that he didn't really feel it was beneficial to go in and possibly have, you know, light concussion or be that beat up and bruised up into the fight. If he can go in healthy and he knows his skill set's there and he's got a chin, he doesn't need to find out if he has one. I think that was really kind of the basis. And the longevity of what you're talking about, I think, helps a lot.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe there'll be a point in my career where I come to say, "Where you know what? I'm comfortable enough in here. I know what I'm doing. I know what my game plan is. All I need to do is make sure my cardio's there, and I don't need to be putting this kind of toll on my body." And then maybe I taper down. But I think he's a little more advanced in his career. What is he, probably in his mid-30s, Lawler?
I think Robbie's just turned 30 or 31.
Oh, so he's in his young 30s. Okay. So, yeah, maybe he's just trying to really prolong it because, I mean, look at the weight he's at and the way those guys throw, and he's trying to just really probably reduce that stress on the body, and I don't blame him because think about it. I mean, all you hear about is with the boxers and with the MMA fighters and the head injuries and the concern about what it can lead to down the road. Everyone always harps on the fights that come once a year, twice a year, three times a year. It's not those. It's the three times a week that you're going with badass dudes in the workout room in the gym that are turning you into that kind of a person later down the line. So there's definitely a way to approach it and be smart. But I think especially for somebody where I'm at in my career, can't afford to just throw sparring out. It's too valuable of an experience. I get way too much out of clashing with high-level dudes to give it up at this point in my career, at least.
Hey, Chris, I hate to do this to you. I mean, we've got Rear Naked Smokes listening to this show. They think this is a phenomenal interview. H.R. Baker out in Missouri is listening. Everybody's loving these interviews right now with you, but we actually going to have to go to another guest soon, so I want you to take this time. Man, any shout-outs, sponsors, friends, social media, anything you want to say or get out there on the table, please take your time. It's yours.
Yeah, I want to thank my head striking coach, Joe Panarello, at Studio 42 Kickboxing in East Islip. I also want to thank Ryan LaFleur and Greg DePasquale at Long Island MMA in Farmingdale. Without those three guys, I don't think I'd be in the sport at all, so... I really owe quite a bit to them for where I am right now, which I believe to be a really good place. And for anybody that's listening out there, they can follow me on Instagram or Twitter at CWadeMMA. So definitely appreciate if they check in, follow. Every little bit helps. It's great to get exposure on there. So, and then just thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. And also Lou Neglia. Yeah, at Ring of Combat for setting this fight up. Without him, this wouldn't be going down. So I owe quite a bit to him. I appreciate it.
Oh, we can't thank
Chris,
you enough.
See if I can find that interview, and I'll link that on your Facebook page or your Twitter. One of the two, I'll get that over to you with Robbie Lawler and Joe, so you can listen to it and kind of see what they're talking about.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Chris,
I want you to tell Ryan LaFleur. I'm kind of mad that he's kicking everybody's ass because I'm not getting the right odds anymore in Vegas when I want to bet on it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, though, that are undefeated, that he he's killing it. Every time he gets in there, he just takes another guy out. So, I mean, what an invaluable training partner to have. You can't match it.
Yeah, that first fight he had in the UFC, I was getting like, they had him as the underdog in Vegas. I killed it. I was like, oh, yeah, this is easy money.
Yeah, they're on to him now. You're not going to get any love now. Now you're going to be laying it down.
I know.
It's all right.
God dang it.
Yeah, maybe he'll get up there soon into that top 10, and you'll get some nice even odds again. You know, they'll make a mistake and make him an underdog. You can make some cash again soon.
I like it, man. I really appreciate getting to chat with you tonight. Skippy and I had a great time. We love Ring of Combat, what all you guys are doing out there, man. And this is one of our favorite fights of the first half of the year so far, man. You and Frankie is going to be a banger, man. We're really looking forward to it.
Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll talk soon.
Hey, Will, we will definitely do that, man, and good luck out there. And all the fans, you guys can watch him in this fight at Go Fight Live TV if you don't live close enough to hit up the Tropicana on the 16th. If you do get tickets, get out there and support him. Get out there and buy a T-shirt from one of his sponsors, or go and buy some tickets for your buddies to go to the show. You know, pick up a VIP table, something. Support local MMA and guys like this, because this is who we're going to see on the big show down the road. This is why you guys get out there and support them at a regional level. Man, Chris, thank you once again for a great time tonight.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Later.
All right.
Oh, Lopaki, I can't thank you enough, buddy. That was just, I mean, back and forth. We nailed that interview. That went beautiful. I'm going to play a quick commercial, and we'll be right back.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
Well, my name is Cecil Brown, and I'm from a little town where people don't think much of me. I never understood why they thought I was no good, but this is how it seems. The feelings of this so cold, I've traveled up and down so many. I'm alone.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
All right, Labaki, hour number two. Man, you do great interview that first hour, man, with Chris Wade. I believe next week we have his opponent, Frankie, on the show to open it next week, so it's going to be great to talk to him. He's been on the show before. Any of you regular listeners know that. Big shout-out to all our great sponsors. You guys just heard that Clinch Custom Mouth Guard ad. Get out there and get Clinch today. He's got the best mouth guards. Get you something custom, something cool, man. Maybe some, like, pistols on it. I don't know. Maybe some bullet teeth. I know those are pretty popular.
Dude, what you should do, I am going to challenge everybody out there that's buying a Clinch Custom Mouth Guard. This is my challenge to you. I want you to find a picture of your next opponent's girlfriend and have her picture put on your mouth guard.
Oh.
And at the weigh-ins, when you guys do a stare down, you smile so that when he looks at your face, he sees a picture of his girlfriend on your mouth guard.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that is the greatest. I love it. Dude, how crazy would that be, dude? That would mess somebody's head. Oh, wow. I like that idea. Oh, that's a good one.
Does that make me a bad person?
No, it makes you a smart man. You talk about psychological warfare.
Would you be willing to punch a picture of Carly? Or would you fear the repercussions of what she may say when you got home?
I'll be honest, I would go ahead and do my job, but I know, win or lose, when I got home I lost. Because she's going to be like, oh, you really just want to punch me, don't you? Huh? Go ahead, tough guy. Yeah, I could. No. I just would not do it. I'd be like, dude, let me buy you a new mouth guard. I'd call Clinch Custom Mouth Guards up and buy him a new one. I'm not going to lie. I'd be like, Jeff, I need a mouth guard. Please, sir.
Dude, I think this is the next great concept, dude. I'm gonna get somebody to do this. I know a fighter out there. Where is Schmielino Rama when I need him?
Oh, Jenna Jameson. Oh, that might not be
dude,
smart.
If Flamenco had a picture of Jenna Jameson on his mouth guard when he fought Tito, that would be the most epic thing ever.
Oh, brother, I'm telling you right there.
Jenna
he smiled
on her
at
back.
Weigh-in.
Like, Jenna on her back, like, all the way across the front. So you could do, like, a portrait picture of, like, Jenna laid out on a bed doing
what she does.
Now, see,
if I was fighting Tino and I was Schlemino, I would take my mouth guard and I'd put steroid, like, the needles and the bottle of sauce and all that across my teeth. That's what I would do. I'd smile. You know that picture of his nightstand with all the steroids and everything in it and the pills? That's what I would have my mouth guard. I'd smile at him and be like, ah, you know. That would be great.
Dude, this is – okay, so I bet if somebody's willing to do this, Jeff will give you 7% off your mouth guard.
Dude, 7%. I love that number. That's a great number. I don't know how you came up
with a discount. If you're willing to get your opponent's girlfriend or wife's picture on your mouth guard, actually, I just got a message from Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. He'll go 15% off. 15% discount. If you're willing to find your opponent's wife or girlfriend, or if it's boyfriend or whatever, their significant other. Oh, wow. Okay, this is getting better and better. So you get a 15% discount, just get a picture of them, whatever. If you are willing to find a nude picture of your opponent's significant other and have it put on your mouth guard, you get $25 off.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, somebody call up Brad Darcy because I'm signing up to fight, and I already know who I'm going to fight. So, because I want a picture of his girlfriend. That's
not
the reason.
Trent.
Oh, you just broke my heart. I was thinking about Crystal Jewels.
Hey, Jeff, I bet Kovacs would do this.
Yeah, but you... Oh, hey, right about now, I'm challenging openly to a one-on-one fight in the squared circle in my backyard to one Jeff Hoiby for that comment. Okay, buddy? Okay, you dude, we had this conversation. I'm not about 65-year-old women. I'm just not. He's being mean tonight.
Dude,
look
well,
at that.
I've shadow reffed Jeff at enough events to where I feel that I'm qualified to be a sanctioned referee.
Boom. Beatdown and Terrebonne won. Main event, Skippy versus Jeff. Results, Jeff knocked out round one.
Wow.
And then you know what? After that, I think I'm going to fight Munson.
Well, you two got high aspirations.
I'm
going to let Jeff respond to you. I'm going to let Jeff respond to you right now because I'm going to unmute him.
Are you fucking kidding me? Oops, sorry, wrong show. Are you stinking kidding me, butthead?
What? I know that you have a bad hip. I know you get your Geritol shots on Wednesday and Fridays. So I'm going to fight you on Thursday. How you doing tonight, brother, dude? For real. Everybody, I want to welcome to the show the owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. You heard it from him. He told Lepaki 15% off if you order your custom mouth guard and you let him know that you heard it on this show and you were doing the girlfriend, boyfriend, or significant other picture, you'll get 15% off. Check it out. Be about it. Hit them up at getclinch.com.
Dude, I would go straight to the nude picture. I'm expecting to see nude pictures.
I think that's going to be tougher to get, but funnier.
It wouldn't be the first one going on mouth guard. It'd be the first one going to the
opponent. Just go look at most girls' Instagram. You can probably find a nude picture of them on their Instagram.
Okay. Hey, for the fans out there listening.
Hey, Jeff. Hold on, Jeff. Is this not one of the greatest ideas ever? What you have actually fought? You have actually fought like in a sanctioned fight, like inside of a ring or cage. What would you have thought if at the weigh-ins you look at your opponent and he smiles and there's a picture of Stormy on his mouth guard?
I'd probably be pretty mad. He might be in my head a little bit.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's the greatest mental check ever. Because all night long he's going to be stewing about it. He's not going to be calming down getting ready for a fight. The next day he's going to be so amped to beat you up that he's going to burn himself out with an adrenaline dump backstage. I mean, this is how you get into a fighter's head, man. Wow, Lepaki, you might have started a trend.
It's a good idea. It's a really good idea. Anything like that. Go with their picture on your T-shirt or something. That'd be hilarious, too.
What about a picture of their mom? That's even better. Dude,
you're a little bit of a jerk then. It gets in a weird, you go with someone's mom, but they're woman.
Yeah, not anybody's mom. Territory. Not moms. If you send a picture of somebody's mom, you have to pay a fee of extra 15%.
I don't even come here. You got a picture of your opponent's mom naked? I don't want you to come here.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Doc Doctor's your place.
Let's see. We should be getting a phone call any minute now because he's late. Jeff, are you driving?
No, sir. I'm sitting at my desk.
Oh, it sounded like your car door.
Nope, I heard that too, though.
So, Jeff, what did you think about some of the stuff we talked about with Chris Wade?
I was just coming guard and
having sparring concept. What do you
think
about the sparring concept?
The what?
The non-sparring concept.
I didn't catch that. I had a machine on that was really loud for the last 25 minutes, so everything I just missed with that guy, for most of it.
You know, Jimmy Baker did just actually make a really good point. He did say that he would rather see the fight in the cage, not necessarily at the weigh-in, which is a live possibility, I guess.
Don't show him at the weigh-in.
I get the fight 24 hours early.
Just start a rumor at the weigh-ins. Don't show him the mouth guard. Then show him the mouth guard at the fight.
Oh. There you go. I think that'll fix it, Jimmy Baker. I think that'll fix it, buddy.
Hey, by the way, happy birthday, Mr. Baker.
Oh, yeah, dude. I just got it. Happy birthday, Jimmy Baker, man. Good call.
All you guys get out there and wish
him
happy birthday.
Hey, you know what? This one here is for Jimmy Baker, man. I got a little something special for Jimmy Baker. This one's for you.
I knew that's the route you were going, brother. Oh, I love it. Hey, Epic 24 going down this Saturday. Don't forget it. There's a lot of good events going down this weekend. I'll tell you what. I know I was looking at it earlier, but is it – what? Don't we have a – is it 1FC's this week, number 15, right? Yeah, it is this week because we kick off – we've got the – obviously you touched on it, EFC Africa 29 going down in about, what, 12, 13 hours, something like that?
11 hours and 15 minutes, brother.
Okay, so, yeah, and then after that
– in case you're wondering, that's the countdown. And, hey, man, if you're really wondering and you really want to get down with the game, you can go to BetExchange.com, I think, and they have live wagering on EFC every event.
Gotta love that, people. Dude, then you got Hill Fighters going down.
You know, like,
Thursday.
I mean, just to let everybody know that, like, you know, if you are a sports booker or as in some circles also known as a gambler, you know, MMA is one area where you can really have a pretty heavy edge over the book because they're really not up to speed. Well, I mean, I guess depending on where you're at in the level of paying attention to the game. But, you know, the sports books are still a little bit behind on some fights where you can really have a serious edge and make some really good money. Just got to be willing to look at all the cards, you know. I mean, sometimes you can get, like, you know, inside the distances where, you know that the guy will probably win and probably get the finish. That way you get a better line than on, you know, if you just bet the fight as a whole. But, I mean, if you're looking for a good way to make money and you like watching the fights, man, I definitely recommend 5dimes.com and, you know, get it rolling, bro.
Also, this week after EFC later that day, we've got Hill Fighters. Anybody out there, it's a Brazilian league. They're debuting. I'm betting $10. You're going to find rearnakedsmoke.net with a link or at least some highlight videos. But then, obviously, we got 1FC. We got Bellator this weekend. Havoc FC 5 going down in Canada. Warpath going down. Archangel 559 Fights. Tough Enough. Bootsy, big shout-out to you. You got everybody get out there
and
check out that card.
Yeah, they need a 170
Yep, 170 amateur. Step up. You got, what, 3 days? Fly out, make weight, and fight on the greatest amateur promotion in the United States right now. This is where you go.
Which Sam was up around 170?
Right? We're like, dude, Sam, put on some weight, buddy.
If he was walking
jacket.
Around at 170, I would probably try and get him to fight down there just to get him in the door.
Yeah, but at 170, he's going to have, like, your jacket, a backpack, two friends.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I can't do it. He walks to, like, 156, 158. No, I mean 160.
Oh, well.
So, I mean, he's a little less. If he walked at, like, 170, I would let him do it.
Well, folks, don't forget Tough Enough, May 2nd, live on Go Fight Live TV. Once again, buy it once, own it for life. There's going to be an official after party at Body English, and you can get an extra large three-topping Papa John's pizza for $12. Getting it, throwing it down. It's going to be a good event. It's at the Cox Pavilion in Las Vegas. Don't forget to get there and support your local MMA if you live close enough. Otherwise, you can watch it through GoFight Live Television. They have 10 fights on this card. It could go down to 9 or could go up to 11. We'll find out the next day or so. But I do know they'll be back shortly thereafter. One of our friends hopefully will make the card this time. Chris, leave him alone. Don't even talk to him.
Dude, you can't even mention that guy around Chris because I think Chris like has a freak out. It's like dealing with a 5-year-old. Yo, man, where's our homeboy at? Ricky? Ricky! Boomer! Don't make us call you, Boomer.
Dude,
I'll put you on this radio show quicker than you can blink, son.
Dude, Helen from XFE, she saw the picture for tonight's show. And she goes, I nominate myself for the MMA Madhouse belt for being the awesome bitch that I am. Oh, that's classic. It's about time to get her back on and catch up because I know that they got some big cards coming up, plus that Mike Tyson deal running boxing with him.
Oh, I know, bro.
Okay, here's an interesting question for the fans out there. I'm looking at a picture of Shannon Rich, okay? And he's got a display case, and it looks like his wife has set up some belts. And on the top shelf, he has the Naga belts and the King of the Cage belt down on the lower one. Do you think a Naga belt should be on the top shelf, or should a King of the Cage belt be on the top shelf?
I don't know. They're both pretty saturated. I think it would depend on who I defeated to get each one. The better opponent would rank their belt higher. Because I think as far as, like, if you're just looking at orgs, they're basically one, six, one, half a dozen the other. I don't really know that you can, you know, differentiate between those two in a way that, you know, would actually tell you anything.
Well, I'm going to see at least we should be able to see real quick. See, one of those titles on there is the IFC Middleweight Championship. One of the titles on there is should be King of the Cage right here. Let's see. How can King of the Cage? Well, that couldn't have been it because he lost there. He lost there at ring. Rage in the Cage, Rage in the Cage. King of the Cage lost, King of the Cage lost, King of the Cage lost. King of the Cage lost, King of the Cage lost. King of the Cage lost. I haven't found a King of the Cage he won at. How did he get a title? No disrespect to the guy, but... Oh, he won the title for IFC via can opener. That's pretty interesting. He fought Frank Shamrock at K1. That's crazy. Shannon Rich in the Grand Prix in 2001. In Las
Vegas.
He
fought like 300 people, dude.
I know, it's insane. But there's no way.
I think Shannon Rich's record is like 185 and 86 or 185 and 90 something. Is that whose record is really like that, or is that somebody else I'm thinking of?
Dude, they have Shannon Rich's record listed as 53 wins, 76 losses.
Well, that could be it.
But that one guy...
Yeah, 130 fights. Yeah, that sounds more right. 130 fights, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they have that one guy who has, what, 250 MMA fights? But, like, when you look back at his record, he fought, like, you know, sometimes three times in a weekend, you know, like Iowa, Kentucky, and then Tennessee. So, I mean, he was jumping...
That was back before the internet, man.
Yeah, that's exactly it, because he was jumping commissions like they were going out of style.
Yeah, what's that guy's name? That's the guy he broke, he fought this little tiny karate guy one time and broke his back with a suplex. Man, what is that guy's name, Skippy? Dark hair, kind of like a short, portly guy.
Oh, you're talking about...
205 and 185. Not Schoonover.
Johnny Hendricks.
No, not Johnny Hendricks, bro.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll figure it out. I'll get back more minutes, and then we're going to go ahead and jump ship and wrap up the show then if you don't call in the next few minutes.
Dude, has anybody ordered a mouth guard with the picture of their opponent's girlfriend yet?
No, but hey, you folks, this weekend, Rear Naked Smoke, you guys should jump over there because I told you they got Hill Fighters listed. It's just not linked up yet, but it will be. But they're going to have Havoc FC over there. You guys will be able to watch that. Cage Warriors 68. Jungle Fights is coming up in a couple weeks. They got a ton of great fights up there, especially from Becca 4. They got all those fights posted. I guess you can definitely check that site out, man. Hit them up. Throw a donation. Tell them thanks for all the hard work. Madhouse just hooked him up with a donation because he's so good to us.
No, he hooked him up with a donation because he's cool.
Well, I can't wait. I guess he's going to come over, I think, later this month. When's the Bellator pay-per-view? Is that coming up, like, at the end of this month?
May 17th.
Oh, well, dude, I know. Smoke said he was going to shoot over to this side of the state and hang out and stay the night for the Bellator event. So I'll be seeing him here in, I guess, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, something like that. What's today, the 30th?
Yeah.
Just over. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Larry's coming over. Larry asked when you were coming back over.
I mean, that might be a good weekend to come over because we could watch Ring of Combat Friday night and then Bellator Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, definitely. That would be sweet. Do the shows here.
We could check that fight. That Frankie and Chris fight would be sick.
And, dude, what we should do that night is a live video show afterwards on Hangout. Instead of a Rogue that night, we should do a live video Hangout. Because you know we can nail it from this end. Okay, well, Ricky, I love you. Big shout out. $10 says that you and your boy got tied up in gym. Hold on, let me check and see because my phone's blowing up. Maybe he's
That's Jeff.
Nope, he didn't call me back. Oh, my Instagram's blowing up. That's why.
Oh, Instagram blowing up, huh?
Yeah, I hope yours is, man. Anybody out there is not following, you should be. You want to see some things that'll make you jealous, man. Homeboy sat down and had some nice fatty cigars.
That I did. You'll see cigars, muscle cars. What else?
Is that like, it's something I've always wanted to talk to you about. Like when you road trip, is it just a standard or is it something you're searching out?
No, dude, the muscle car, they just appear out of nowhere, man. And I haven't seen one in a long time. I've been on a real, like there was like a time where I was like seeing two or three a trip, but here probably the last year or so, it's been really slim picking.
Well, folks, we didn't get the second guest we wanted. We'll definitely rebook him. Lepaki, you know how we end every show. Eagle.
Pro-Am championship belts who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30.
doubt.
Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championships, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am Championship Belts.
Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.